Thank you, Liam. This paper is co-authored by myself and Melinda Wiggins, the other PI on this project. Melinda is the executive director of Student Action with Farm Workers and the coordinator of Farm Worker Advocacy Network in North Carolina. I have no disclosures, though if someone would like to pay me, I would like to have some disclosures. Let me give you a little history about this before I get to the specific aims. As Liam said, this project is built on 15 years of collaboration among a group of advocates and academics in North Carolina addressing farm worker health problems. This project itself grew out of the desire of Melinda and other members of the Farm Worker Advocacy Network to push for policy change in North Carolina and to have science to back up what they wanted to do. It's also based on my desire and that of many of my colleagues who are the academics in the research partnership to have our research make a difference, to go beyond the articles that we do love to publish, but do something that actually affects policy or directly affects farm worker health. Now, let me say something about the Farm Worker Advocacy Network. This is a group of about 15 organizations in North Carolina. It is not incorporated. It's a coalition. Groups like Student Action with Farm Workers, Telemann Corporation, North Carolina Farm Workers Project, Toxic Free NC, as well as some state agencies. They've been meeting for several years and coming up with a legislative agenda to improve regulation that affects farm worker health in North Carolina. Wake Forest University is not a member of FAN, and that's a strategic decision that we all agree on. We do the research, they do the advocacy. However, as you'll see, sometimes the research we do is directed to the advocacy they want to do. So when the possibility of this project came up, we got together and came up with these three specific aims to develop a framework for collaboration so that we could continue our collaboration and into the future and make it a little bit more formal, to build the capabilities among FAN organizations to participate in research and to build the capability of us, health sciences, to effectively communicate our research with community stakeholders. And then as a way to see how this worked, we were going to identify, implement, and evaluate an effective approach to communicate the results of health science to migrant and seasonal farm workers. And I presented some other parts of this before, so that's the new part. That's why it's highlighted. So our project had four basic activities. There were research seminars. That's what we did to teach them. That would be the academics to teach the advocates. There were communication seminars. That's what they did to teach us. Then there was long discussions of collaborative activities, and I'll review some of those. And then there was this research project. And that was driven by the community organizations, by the advocates, and we were there as support, not as leaders in this research project, so that they could use what they learned through this process as, you know, learn by doing, as they say. So, research seminars, goal, build the capabilities among FAN community-based organizations and agencies to participate in research. Again, as Melinda has often told me, Tom, I really appreciate you sending me those research articles, but I don't read them because I don't understand them and they're quite boring, which I don't take personally, but they are. And to reflect the community-driven research and intervention process, so we wanted to have workshops that they selected that would help them do what they wanted to do. So what were the workshops? We started off, and actually the first one was my one thing I said we had to do, which is the ethical conduct of research and research integrity. This is extremely important, and we didn't want to get ourselves into trouble, and we wanted everyone to understand who was involved in this process what research ethics were. So all members of the FAN organizations who eventually participated in the research project became city certified investigators, and the whole Student Action with Farm Workers has an FWA, which uses the Wake Forest IRB as their IRB, so the whole thing went through there. The other workshops addressed, as you can see, qualitative research, research design basics, how do you design a research, evaluating research articles, which is real important, is something we're using. In fact, we have a meeting next week on a set of articles that are we're reviewing for current policy initiatives. And community-based participatory research, as they've been involved in it, I wanted to let them know what they'd been doing for the last 15 years, and they appreciated that immensely. We have a great relationship, you have to understand. And then finally, evaluation. This, for those in the nonprofit sector, have they've come to understand is that all their funders want evaluation. They want evaluations like you wouldn't believe, but they don't want to fund them. So you get a $50,000 or $100,000 grant, and they want an evaluation, which would cost you $100,000, $150,000. So we want to give them some basics of evaluation, but also enough information that they could argue back with their foundation funders as to the reasonableness of the evaluation that was being demanded of them. They have provided two seminars for us. And the first one, and again, it's to help us better communicate both with policymakers and with farm workers. Those of you who know me, I know I've been doing this for 15 years and my Spanish is quite limited, basically non-existent. So I have to come up with ways to talk to farm workers and communicate with them and have wonderful staff members like Dana in the back of the room there who helps us a great deal. We also have to talk to policymakers, so we deal with people like Amy Liebman there to help us out with the policy parts of what we're doing. But we want to do a better job of communicating. So the two seminars have been offered, one on communicating with policymakers and the other one of getting into farm worker camps and talking to farm workers, how we make best do that and not get nasty phone calls from lawyers, which has been happening lately. Anyway. In terms of our collaboration, this is a very quick rundown of the things we discussed and collaborated on over the last 2 years. So we wanted to develop this framework, which we have, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But here are some of the things that we did. We took research results and wanted to get them to farm workers. So our fan colleagues said radio ads. So we developed 5 radio ads. Ran them, we actually paid for them, they're not PSAs. We developed them in 2 formats, one for North Carolina and one for a national audience. So each of the 5 ads has 2 versions. We put them on CDs, we paid for 2 Latino radio stations to present them across an agricultural season, 1 ad for a week for over 10 weeks, so each ad was run twice. And then we shipped out over 100 copies of these to other advocates across the country who wanted them. We also developed an education program to tell farm workers about the pesticides we had been finding in their urine so that they would have a better idea of what they're being exposed to and how they might protect themselves. I will say that those materials are still available. If anyone wants copies of them, let me know and we'll send you out a CD. Both in the educational materials or the radio spots. We developed policy briefs. This was an interesting thing because several of these policy briefs sat on my desk for over a year because our advocacy friends didn't want them released until they were ready to initiate a legislative agenda. All 3 that we've developed, and there's an example of one, they're on 2 sides of a piece of paper. They give some a purpose, what we're trying to do, the background, some findings, and then some recommendations. Are all based on the peer-reviewed literature articles that we had published. We also and then conducted another study, and again, those are available. We'll email those out if anybody wants to see them. They're in PDFs. We also then were conducting some new research, and we said, what do you want us to conduct research on? Someone once told me, you're not a very good scientist if you can't take a 20-page questionnaire and turn it into a 30-page questionnaire. And so we had a 20-page questionnaire, so we had at least 10 pages that we could add to it. And they said, we want research on heat stress, wage theft, and workers' compensation. The heat stress paper has been published. The wage theft paper is under review. I'll give you the punchline of it. Non-H-2A workers who do not have H-2A visas, about 25% of them aren't getting paid minimum wage. And though our sample is small there because you started off with H-2A and that's half our sample and goes down, but it looks like if you get ripped off on your wages, you're also going to get pesticide safety training. go figure. Under workers' comp, what we found is we have a measure of, again, here's just the punchline, safety climate, and safety climate is related to working while sick. If you have a bad safety climate, you're more likely to work while you're injured or sick, and to a scale of musculoskeletal injuries. And Liam just told me I had to hurry up, so I will. So the community-driven research and intervention, what you have to understand in this, and you'll, with those who know me will understand how hard this was for me, is this was their project. This was the fans' project, and I was there as an advisor. They picked the project they wanted to do. I got to sit in the room and answer questions when they asked me questions. This is their project. And what they did was go through a list of, this is the process. They brainstorm a list of topics. They share data on topics of interest. They had satisfaction surveys through their clinics on what topics workers in outreach programs, what topics workers would want to know about. They had notes from their student interns, and what they decided to do was do a project not on environmental health, which is what I would like them to do, and what Liam would like them to do, but on HIV/AIDS and STIs. Now, again, we have research that showed one year that 2 out of 100 farm workers that we tested were positive for syphilis. 2% doesn't sound like much. Same year, the rate for the country, the incidence rate for syphilis in the United States was 3.85 per 100,000. So we found a rate of 2,000 per 100,000. So this is a big issue to farm workers. Again, understand, and when we're talking about migrant farm workers, we have somewhere around 100,000 men without families, away from their families for 6 to 8 months of the year. That leads to problems. So, skipped one there. So then, based on the training that they had, they conducted research. They did three things. They reviewed the literature, hence how do you read a journal article. They conducted focus groups, the workshop on qualitative methods, and they surveyed service providers. Were there programs already out there that they could already use? What did service providers want in North Carolina in terms of HIV/STI education? I'm a little fast on the trigger there. They developed a program. They reviewed all these materials. They went out and did an internet search and a search of materials available in HIV and STI, materials that were available in Spanish and might be usable for farm workers. One of the major problems was finding really good materials that were no longer available. But they identified the best materials that they could. They put this together in a lesson plan, and they reviewed these with service providers so that they knew what was good. They implemented it. They had two SAF interns. These are wonderful young people who spend a summer doing working in outreach. They worked with a clinic, a community migrant clinic called Piedmont Health Services. They got a half day of training, and then they went out and presented these materials in 8 labor camps. We evaluated this because I'm told we're supposed to evaluate things these days. And there was two parts of the evaluation. One was data collected by the SAF interns themselves. They talked about who attended their trainings, how many people did, what was the response. So this was more of a process evaluation, list of questions the workers asked, what workers really wanted to do. Yeah. Then the research team, the SAF organization members, conducted 3 focus groups and had workers discuss what they thought was good about the training. So, for example, workers said, we don't mind a woman being present for this education, but we do want a man there too, particularly when they were doing the condom demonstration, I guess. So, dissemination, we're reviewing all this from the evaluation, we're revising it, and we're going to make all these materials available as we do all our materials on the web, announcing them through listservs. We've just done a presentation on them at the East Coast Migrant Stream Forum, which was 2 weeks ago. So, what did we learn from all this? Well, infrastructure, we increased capacity to conduct research because they conducted research, but Here's the downside of this. Some community groups, some agencies really don't want to learn how to do research. They really didn't participate in this process at all. They didn't think it was important to them. It's not what they were interested in. So we were left with that component, 25% maybe of the fan organizations who were there every time, who did all the work. And that's something we have to, as academic researchers, have to understand that not everybody values the research process as well as much as we do. But there's better knowledge of the research process out there and how this all gets done. And when I talk about a random design or an area block cluster sampling design, they have some idea of what the heck I'm talking about, or that at least it sounds important. And we have a better understanding of organizational goals. We have to do things in a way that fits the needs of those organizations. It has allowed increased collaboration. There are more projects that are being done together now. There are proposals with groups that we never worked with before that have been submitted and are being funded. So this is all really good stuff from our perspective. Finally, at our last meeting, which was the meeting to end the project, we decided that we were going to establish a memorandum of agreement that would allow us as health scientists to provide input to the FAN members. They can come and ask us through the Center for Worker Health for help in developing research and evaluation projects, and evaluation is an extremely important issue. We'll continue to provide continuing education, so we'll help them review the literature and maybe conduct a journal club, though that's going to get a little crazy doing that. But right now, for example, there's a big legislative push by FAN, and we're meeting on the 18th. I came up with the literature for each of the major legislative points, and we're reviewing that literature together so that when they go talk to people, they can say, see, the science says, and here's a peer-reviewed article. And they finally have some appreciation of peer-reviewed literature. It's great. And then we're going to continue developing policy briefs together so that they can continue with their policy work. So thank you.